Amen. Hallelujah. Our topic this month has been for His glory, for His glory. And we have covered what I think is the real purpose and reason for God creating us. And I've said so many times, the only reason could be He wanted to show us His love. Amen. And that should encourage you. That should really lift you up, that God loves you. You know, the thing about Satan is he tries to bring doubt because of what we see around us and what we're going through, that God does not love us. And then he also points to all our failures and our weaknesses and as a reason why God should not love us. Amen. But you know what you have to do? You have to tell him he's a liar. God already knows you, that you're not perfect. He knows all my faults and failures. He knows where I'm coming from. And you know what? He still loves me. Amen. He still loves me. And if we could ever get back to the little song we sing in Sunday school, Jesus loves me. This I know. Why? Because the Bible tells me so. Not your circumstances. Your circumstances and people and friends will tell you God does not love you. But that's not what you need to depend on. You need to depend on His word. His word tells me that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And His word tells me that in my weakness, that's when His power can be made manifest. Amen. That's what His word tells me. And so the little song is so true because the Bible tells me so. Amen. And you know what he said about His word? It does not change. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not. That's what you got to depend on. No matter how you're feeling, no matter what you have done in the past, you've got to say, He still loves me because the Bible tells me so. Amen. Isaiah 43, verse 7. It has been our theme verse this month. Even everyone that is called by my name. Amen. If you've been baptized in his name, you have been called by his name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. You were created to be an example of God's glory, to be a vessel that he could pour his love into. And although the world and situation is telling you different, remember, his word tells you that he loves you. Because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. And that's why I told someone the other day, I'm definitely a glass half full person. My glass is never empty. Never empty. I never look at it as half empty either. It's always at least half full. And the only way I can go in certain circumstances is up. Amen. That's the only place I can go is up. I refuse to let the devil depress me and to take away my joy. Amen. Because it says that he has created us for his glory. Amen. And as I've used the example so many times, those of you who have to children, the only reason to have children is not to make money or to have a profit, but is to show love. Amen. Amen. To be a repository so that you can have joy in your children. That's what it happens. You know, when you look at your children and when they're happy, it brings you a joy. Amen. You just look at them and when they're pleased. I remember when I managed to surprise my middle son with a drum set, and the joy on the expression on his face when he saw something that he had been wanting a long time, you know, that brought me joy. When we bring joy to God, then that's really achieving what he had created us for, to bring him glory. That's what I really believe this is speaking about when he says we have been created for his glory. So these first few slides are just to reemphasize what we've been teaching. It was to express his love. Ephesians 2:4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherein he loved us. See that little children's song, Jesus loves us. This I know. Why? Because his word tells me so. And the scripture goes on to say, even when we were dead in sins, when we were at our worst, when we weren't even thinking of him, when we were only about our own self-interest, our own lust, our own desires, the Bible says, hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ by grace, unmerited favor, are we saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. How? In Christ Jesus. That's the only way we can really accomplish what God wants, is that we're sitting in Christ Jesus, in his presence. That in the ages to come, and now here's the real reason. God, who is infinite, his love is also infinite. I remember when I was small, I would ask my mom how much she loves me. And she would say, this big. And she would spread our arms. And I can remember as a 2 or 3 year old thinking, wow. And just basking in that thought. You know, our Heavenly Father is doing the same thing today. When you ask him how much, he spread his arms on a cross and said this much. That's how much he loves us. You know, but we always think it really wasn't for me. It was for someone else. I am not worthy. And the truth is, none of us are worthy. We are not worthy. But it said, by grace are we saved. And the whole purpose of eternity, verse 7 tells us what it's for, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of what? His grace. His grace. Jesus' blood was an overpayment. One drop of his blood was an overpayment for everything you've done. I don't know, they say the human body has 12 pints or quarts, I don't remember exactly, but just one drop was an overpayment. Overpayment. You know, it's like you had a huge debt, you know, and you overpaid it. They owe you. They owe you. Now you've paid too much. Occasionally that's happened where I've overpaid and they've had to send me back a small check, and that's always feels so good. But Jesus' death, his blood, was an overpayment for what we have done. But you know what we do? We put him back up on the cross because we say, well, yeah, your death saves other people, but it can't really help me. Do you know how much that must hurt him? If your children rejected everything you did for them, wouldn't that hurt? If they rejected and said, no, you don't love me, no matter what you did. That's what we do to Christ. When we get in our depression and in our, you know, rejection of him, when we are saying, your death on Calvary was not good enough to save me. The Bible says it's going to take eternity. It says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. My mother used to have to work away from home, and so she was not always at home because she was in charge of a post office, and so when we were growing up in Jamaica, she would be sent to different post offices around the island. So sometimes she would be gone for 2 or 3 days, and I had a nanny, and when the nanny told me, you know, my mommy's coming, my face would light up, I would get so happy, you know, and I would go running to her when she was coming. That's what God wants us to do to him. Not to be scared of him, not to be afraid that he's coming with vengeance, but the Bible says that he loves us. This much is what he loves us. Verse 8 says, for by grace. It wasn't because we had achieved anything. The devil tries to put us under the bondage of the law. The law was about achieving stuff. The law was about how faithfully you could keep stuff. But the law put the problem on us. Right? But you know what Christ did? He took it back. He put the problem on himself. When he said, it is finished. I know I say this every week, but I want us to get it. In the little panel there, it says, to show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. His whole plan is that his glory reside in us. John 14, chapter 14, twice he says, let not your heart be troubled. Right at the beginning and then near the end again, he says, let not your heart be troubled. He told them he was going away, but he says, and I will pray the Father that he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And I said last week, isn't it interesting that Jesus calls the Holy Spirit comforter? You know, little toddlers, they have a blanket, their comforter. And when they're scared or something, they look for their comforter when they want to go to sleep. That's what the Holy Spirit should be to us, a comforter. Amen. You may not see my blankie, but I've got one. You may not see my blankie, but I've got one.
It's the Holy Spirit.
He's my comforter. Amen. And the Bible says you can't take him away from me, that he may what? Abide forever. So no matter where you are, when you think you are alone or going through some things, you have a comforter. Amen. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. God has promised that he will not leave us comfortless. Comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And I told the story last week of how Moses was able to see his glory. How was he able to see his glory? He went into the cleft of the rock. And the Bible tells us in the New Testament that that rock that followed them is Jesus. Amen. That's what you got to do, is hide in Jesus. When you get depressed, hide in Jesus. Hide in his word. Stand upon his promises. Hold on to that word. Because that's what the little song says. Because the Bible tells me so. Amen. And of all things, God's word will never fail, cannot fail. Amen. So God's purpose was to show us his love. And I was at Brother Tony has a Spanish Bible study on Saturdays, and I was over there, and I spoke about suffering. And I said that suffering is because of man's choice, man's ability to reject God. But Paul in Romans was explaining, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy. Hallelujah. They're not going to be compared to what God is going to reveal in your life. Hallelujah. That's what this says. And as I've said so many times, and I'm going to say it again, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5:1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. It seems almost beyond understanding that the God who created this world should come to earth and suffer. He didn't have to. He did not have to. Amen. He could have stayed up in heaven, but it was because of love. Love will make you do things that you wouldn't do. Real love will make you do things you wouldn't do. Amen. I've used the example before that if my wife asked me for some water and I'm in bed, I wouldn't get up if it was me, but because she asked. And she does the same thing. Amen. I can ask her and she will just go and get some water. She doesn't say, why don't you get it yourself? She could just say that. Hey, you've got two legs like me. I'm just as tired as you. But she does not, because she loves me. Amen. Amen. You know, but I treasure her love. Many times, you know, she'll do things and I'll say, you know what? No, I don't want you to do it. She says, yeah, I want to. I said, no, don't do it. Now, let me go do it. She says, no, I want to. And I almost feel bad of taking advantage of her love. I don't like talking about me. But Saturday, she said, do you want anything to eat in the morning? I said, no, I'll just have some tea. And she said, you sure? I don't mind going fixing you some bread. I said, no, no, no. And then I started thinking about it. Okay, I'll have two eggs. Is that all you want? Well, maybe some baked beans. In the end, she fixed me a big old breakfast. Do you understand? That's how God looks at us. Amen. He wants to fix you a big breakfast. God's purpose is to show us how much he loves. And he does that. He does that. Amen. He will do that. If you are his child, he will fix you a big breakfast. Amen. Hallelujah. Because he wants to show you his love. Amen. So the whole plan of the Father was to bring glory to the Son. Now I said that there are three parts to glory, and this is where we start the lesson this morning. God has wants to bring us glory, but you understand that we also can bring him glory. Love needs to be reciprocated. You know, love should not be a one-way street. You can't always be taking. The Bible says it's better to do what? Give. Because love needs to be reciprocated. So God so loved us that he gave. And so what can we do? Now, we don't do that to get into God's kingdom. But when we are in God's kingdom, we should still work. So the Father plans to bring his glory to the Son. But what I want to show you, it's also for us to bring the Father glory. We have to return that love. John 17:1. This is what Jesus said. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son. We want God to give us glory. But, Jesus went on, why? That thy Son may also glorify thee. Okay? So, we ask God to give us glory and to bless us. But there's a reason for it. That in return, we can give back glory to the Father. That's what Jesus said. The Bible says in Psalms 29:2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. When we come to church, we really shouldn't just come because it's Sunday. We should come and say, you know what, Lord, I really want to touch that. I'm going to give you the praise. I'm going to worship you despite what I'm going through, despite the things that are bothering me. I'm here to worship you and to lift up your name. That's what Jesus said. He said, yes, the hour has come for you to glorify thy Son, but there is a reason for God giving us glory, that we can return it, that we can give it back, that we can have a love feast, amen, that we can show each other, show God our love that he has given us. So now, how do we glorify God? It doesn't seem at this present time that there's a whole lot. We don't have riches. We don't have fame. But we can glorify God. The Bible says in John 17:4, I'm going to show you how we can glorify God. Right? The Father has blessed us. How do we bless God back? Jesus said in John 17:4, I have glorified you down here on the earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. That's how one of the ways we can glorify God is by completing the work that he gave us to do. It's not just to come to church on Sunday and sing some songs and pray for ourselves. When God calls us, he's also given us a work to do. He's given us a work to do. Now, did Jesus just grow up in Nazareth and just stay there as a carpenter's son? No. There was 3.5 years when he began his ministry, and there was work for him to do. And the work is not just inside here. In fact, 80% of it should be out there. How do we bring God glory? In there is work for us to be doing. Amen. I try and always remember when I go out to take some cards with me. And I ask, Lord, help me to find someone who needs to be ministered to. Brother Alberta was telling me this morning about a young man he saw, didn't know, just walked up to him and just asked him, in your own words, what did you say to him? Amen. Isn't that awesome? That's what we are supposed to do. You want God to give you glory. What glory are you returning? Right? If all I did was ask her to get me water all the time and I never got up and gave her water, that's a one-way street. That's not really reciprocating love. How have we reciprocated love? Do we have any disciples? Remember the theme a month or so ago was be one, make one. Amen. We shouldn't not go from Sunday to Sunday without doing something that we can say, Lord, use me in this. Let me speak to someone. Let me pray for someone. It's as easy as taking the phone and calling someone. How are you doing? Can I pray with you? I haven't seen you lately. What's going on in your life? Amen. This is how we start to bring glory to God. You want him to pour into you, but what have we poured into his kingdom? Jesus said, I have glorified you down here on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. So by just doing God's will, We are completing the work. We're bringing him glory by completing the work. You know, it's like you have a teenage son or daughter, and you give them some chores. You know, your chore is to take out the trash. And if they do that, you're pleased with them. It's maybe not a big deal, but they're completing the work that you gave them to do. All things that are mine are yours. And all things, this is from the Amplified Bible, things that are yours belong to me, and I'm glorified in them. We want God to give us all of his kingdom, all of his blessing, but we have not given into that kingdom. We have not sowed into it. It says, they have done me honor. In them, my glory is achieved. That's what it means. God's glory is going to be achieved in what you do. You know, we've heard it said that we are his hands and his feet, and maybe it really hasn't hit us, but that's exactly what it is. He's no longer using angels to do miracles. He's using us. He wants to use us. Amen. That's what he wants. He wants to use you. When you go down to the McDonald's and witness, that's what he wants us to do. Sister Johnny, you were going to say something. Amen, amen. And you know how we preach? We preach through our lifestyle. What we do speaks more than what we say. Amen. What we do speaks more than what we say. I'm always disappointed when I see people who are friends on Facebook and what they post. Some of the language that they post. You know, I wonder what goes through their mind. You know, the Bible says you can't have sweet water and bitter water come out the same fountain. Amen. And it's what comes out of us that defiles us. You know, I'm so disappointed. Sometimes I just have to delete their post, because that's not bringing glory to God. That's not bringing glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, if we look at two Bible characters, Saul and David, if you were to just look at what they did, David did worse than Saul, right? David killed somebody, committed adultery, and yet David got forgiveness and Saul didn't, because of the Spirit and his approach, and because he had a repentant heart. So it's not even so much what we do in that sense, but it's understanding and having a heart to God to truly come back to him. And that's what, even in that situation, God can get glory. Amen. Let's look at going a little bit deeper in this about glorifying God by, and I put his works, because really, it's his works. Amen. Jesus said, I do nothing of myself, only what the Father, I see the Father do. So let's read this. Luke chapter 5, verse 24. But that he may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go to thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereupon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. I'm talking about the works. If we want works that are miracles, then there is something we're going to have to do before God will channel that through us. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God. I was speaking about how we can bring God glory. Well, number one, we bring God glory through our works, but works can take many forms. Just witnessing is a work. In fact, Jesus said, pray the Father that he would send laborers. Amen. Behold, the harvest is ready. Amen. There's so many people out there that could be delivered, that their situation could be changed if they knew, if someone would just go up to them and say, hey, do you know there's a God that loves you? Amen. There's thousands of people right now all around us in Milwaukee who could have their situation changed if someone came up to them and really spoke to their heart and spoke to their need. Amen. And they were all amazed and they glorified God. The second way we bring glory is if God uses us as a channel for healing or for miracles. Amen. God has done that so many times with me, especially in finances. He's done so many miracles for me. And most of you have heard my miracles, and he's still doing miracles for me. Amen. He's still doing miracles for me. The devil will come and place doubt in your mind, you know, because I never have a long-range plan. I don't have a long-range plan. My long-range plan, my 401k plan is the rapture. Amen. That to the world, that may be foolish, and maybe it is, but I'm depending upon him. Amen. I'm depending upon him. You know, the devil will come and say, well, you know, you don't have enough to retire. And he's right. I don't have enough to retire down here. He's right. I don't have enough to retire down here. But you know what I've been doing for a long time? You can't see my 401k plan because it's not down here. Amen. It doesn't go down dependent on the stock market. It isn't subject to interest rate fluctuations. Amen. Bible says store up treasure in heaven. Amen. Amen. It's store up treasure in heaven. You can't see my 401k plan. Nobody can steal it. Amen. Nobody can take it away. Amen. But it's being stored up in heaven. So the devil is right when he says, you know, you should be concerned because you're getting older and you don't. I tell him, get thee behind me, Satan. You know why? I have a 401k plan in heaven. It isn't taxable. They can't take it away. Amen. See, what we're doing when we are investing in God's kingdom is we're actually investing in ourselves because we're bringing glory to the Father. Jesus showed by example how you bring glory to the Father in that he was a channel of God's miraculous power. And the problem with us is that we're not at the place most of the time to be able to say, thy sins be forgiven, or take up thy bed and walk. But imagine if that happened, if this church would be packed out. You wouldn't have to do much preaching if we were the channel that God would like. If eyes were being opened, deaf ears were being opened and unblocked, and if people were jumping up out of wheelchairs, this church would be packed. So that is what we should strive for. The Bible says, covet more earnestly the gifts. Amen. And we want all the gifts. We want the gift of miracles. We want the gift of prophecy. But it's because we have not yet gotten to the place where we are actually investing in God's kingdom. Amen. And that's why Jesus showed us how we can glorify him by our, as you said, good works. But it's really his works that the Bible says that he has prepared. Amen. So I encourage you this week, take a card with you. If you're not a card, just go up to someone and say, I'd like to tell you about what God has done for me, how he can change a life. Amen. The brother, I don't remember his name, was telling us, asked prayer for his children. And he said that he had not been a good example. You know, he himself had been in drugs and in other things, and he had not set them a good example. I told him, you know what? It does not matter because God is able to save to the uttermost. Amen. He is able to do what we cannot do. He's even able to take the fact of what you were and what you are now and to use that as an example of his transforming power. Hallelujah. See, many times people will look at you and wonder, how are you making it? I don't like, again, but I had to try and look very, you know, solemn when they came and told me we're going to have to lay you off because, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I had been praying that week and said, Lord, I am not able to do this and everything else you want me to do. I was struggling. And so God said, you know what? I'm going to give you a summer vacation. A summer vacation. Amen. Trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. Amen. He's going to make your path straight. Amen. See, we also can bring glory by just walking in His image. We just have to walk in His image. Just fulfill the plan that He has for your life. It may not make sense to you. You may not understand it. Amen. But just walk in it. Amen. But we all with unveiled face, this is from 2 Corinthians 3:18, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God are being transformed. If you start just walking, He will start to transform you because He wants to unveil Himself in you. We just have to start walking in His image. Walking in His image. I'll say it again, walking in His image. As I said, there was this fad that went around with the bracelets that had WWJD. You know, what would Jesus do? I'm glad if that helped remind you, but the Holy Spirit should be reminding you all the time. What would Jesus do? You know, I always think, how to react in certain situations. What would Jesus do? Of course, sometimes He did take a whip and go in there and clean them out. So don't count on the fact that Jesus was always peaceful. There was a time when He was not. Amen. But we can start to bring glory by just walking, learning to walk in His image and in His likeness. They saw how Jesus reacted. For 3.5 years, His disciples followed Him, and they saw how He reacted, what he wanted them to learn. When they would want to call down fire on somebody, Jesus said, No, I didn't come to destroy, but to save. And I'm sure there's times we just like God to, in our flesh, man, can't You call down fire on these people? Man, they're just getting on my last nerve. But what we really want is for God to change their heart. To change their heart. Can you imagine the church, the early church must have been praying, Lord, can't You just kill this person named Saul? Just kill him. He's given us such trouble. He's throwing Christians into prison. I can imagine that they prayed for him to be done away with. Instead, their prayer, when it went through, God came back differently. Instead of destroying him, in a way he was destroyed. The old Saul was destroyed. And here came this new person. So when you pray for someone, pray that they be transformed. Transformed. That's what we need to pray for, that God will transform the situation. Amen. And give us the strength to deal with it. It's not that He's going to always take away the fire, because He got glory in the fire. How did Nebuchadnezzar's heart get changed? After he threw them in the fire and saw that nobody was getting burnt. And in fact, hey, there's a fourth person walking around in there. Sometimes God will get glory in your situation, in your fire. That's how He gets glory. Certainly that was the case with Lazarus. He said, this sickness is for the glory of God. Wow. Now, let's think about what we're going through, each of us right now. Can you think of a situation you're going through right now? Can you say by faith, this is for the glory of God? Can you think of a situation you're dealing with right now? Now, speak in faith to yourself and say, this is for the glory of God. Because you know what? When God delivers you, you're going to have some glory. Because He's going to take you through it. You know what happened to the Hebrew boys after they came out the fire? They were promoted. They were put in charge of whole regions. But that only happened because they got thrown in the fire. Nebuchadnezzar didn't even know about them. How did they become prominent in his kingdom? Because they stood out. They did not bow when everybody else was bowing and giving in to the peer pressure. They said, we can't bow. Now, if 20,000 people all get on their face and you're standing up, you're going to stand out. So he threw them in the fire. And it was going through the fire that elevated them above all of their peers. In the end, all the people that bowed actually were now under them. The only person apart from Nebuchadnezzar that they were under was Daniel. Do you understand how going through the fire was what elevated them? And in the end, they brought glory to the true God of heaven. Because Nebuchadnezzar then said, now I know that He is the true God of heaven. That's how we can bring glory to God even in our suffering, when people see what you're going through. So I challenge you this week. You know, we all have situations, some of us, multiple situations. We just need to tell the devil out loud. When you wake up tomorrow morning, I want you to do this literally. I want you to speak it out. This is for God's glory. I want you to speak to your situation, your mountain, and say, this is for God's glory. Someone's going to have a testimony. Someone is going to have some victory. Someone is going to have deliverance. Amen. This is for God's glory. Hallelujah. Because he said you were created for his glory. That's why I made you. So if you look at your situation and will declare some things, we can start walking in his image. And that is going to bring God glory. Amen. Then the third way we glorify God in more detail is, of course, we glorify him with our bodies. 1 Corinthians 3:18 says, 3:16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." 1 Corinthians 6:19 then says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" You are not your own. You belong to God. Who is a servant of God here? Raise your hand. You know what that really means? I use the nice word servant, but it really means slave. Does a slave decide what he's going to do? No. Slave gets up in the morning and he goes to the master, and the master has a whole list of stuff for him to do. Jesus said, "I came not to do mine own will." That's why he was able to do so many miracles, because he wasn't doing his will. When we get to that point where we're totally emptied and then God will use his will through us, then we will start to have the glory pass through us. That's what it was all about. We are supposed to be the temple of God. The temple of God. That means the Holy Spirit. We should venerate that so much. "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own." 2 Corinthians 6:16. "Because of that then, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" Is there anything that we're putting before God? I've always used this example, you know, when you're in love. Barry White, I can't say it. When you're in love, the only thing when you get up is in the morning is, "Where's your honey? Wonder what they're doing. Where are they right now?" You want to text them, you want to call them. "Hey, honey, where are you?" You know? Your honey's coming. Amen, amen. Until then, you'll just have to be in love with Jesus. Amen, amen. But you understand that your whole thoughts, your waking thoughts, you know, and you can't remember what you spent those hours talking about. The time just goes, right? And you can't remember because you're in love. It doesn't come like a hard thing to come to church when you're in love with God, when you think, okay, what is the word going to be today? I need something today. You're excited to hear what God has for you. That's glorifying God with your body, with your mind. The Bible says with your mind, body, and soul. That's how we glorify God. Are you excited when it's time for church that you believe God has got something to encourage you? Amen. That's what I'm talking about, glorifying God with our bodies. "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?" But a lot of times we bring idols, and it can be things we don't even think of as an idol, but just fills up the space. There was a time when the children of Israel started to bring things into the temple instead of God's treasures. Solomon had built some rooms around the temple, which were for all of the things, the implements of the temple. But they started putting things in there, other things that did not belong to the temple, and hiding them. You know, we can hide things in our heart that become as idols that we won't let go of, hurts. Things in the past that we just dwell on and keep bringing back up. And you know what it does to us? It makes us bitter. It makes us bitter. You have to release all the things and get those things out of your heart. You may not have a stone statue that you've got some candles in your front room burning incense to, but we can do the same thing with things in our heart that come before God. I love it sometimes when I wake up and I'm praying. I wake up and I'm already thanking God. Those are the best mornings for me when I wake up. Now I'm in the mood of just saying, thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. My wife's already gone. She doesn't stay in the bed. She's not there. She's in the next room, and she's usually praying, and I wake up, and I'm in the bed by myself, and I'm starting to thank God. Lord, I just thank you that you got someone in the room over there praying for me. Amen. I am so grateful because God has done so much. I'm learning to be content. I'm learning to be content. What do you really need? What do you really need? What do you really need? Everybody ate something maybe this morning if you wanted to. You've got beautiful clothes on. Amen. You had some shoes to put on. Amen. So then what do you need? Jesus said, listen, Solomon in all his glory was not adorned like these lilies. God is going to provide for you because you're his child. He loves you. And we can glorify him in how we respond. When we look about this body and think, okay, we're not to bring any idols into it. 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You know what should bring us joy? And I know it's, I've used it all the time as a test, is if you believe God loves you. If you believe God loves you, why don't you take it one more step? Not only that he loves you, but he's pleased with you. Can you believe that? That's the next step. Not that he just loves you, but that you are his beloved. Amen. I've said before, when did Jesus hear the voice? As soon as he was baptized. He had not done a miracle yet. When did he hear the voice? When he was coming out the water. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus had not done one miracle yet. He had not started his work. Do you understand the example God was showing? It's just because you took the first step. That's when you become his beloved. As well as saying that this is for the glory of God, you need to tell yourself, I am his beloved. Let's say that. I am his beloved. I am his beloved. In fact, a lot of times I feel like John, that I'm his favorite. You know why? He's done such miraculous things for me, I almost feel it's unfair. It's unfair. It's unfair what he's done for me. I don't know about you, but I feel it's unfair because he seems to just continue to heap stuff on me. You know, I really feel like John, the beloved, John the apostle. He said he called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. And many times I feel that way. I said, Lord, look what you have done. Every time something bad happens, you make it good. You have a fire, then we have just a bigger house. Amen. She has a crash, she has a better car. Amen. It's unfair how good you are to me, Lord. See, the key is knowing that you're not just the loved, but that you're his beloved. God spoils me. And he's going to do it again. I'm going to give you a testimony very soon. See, he's just given me the summer off. He wanted me to have a couple month vacation. So I know he's got a job out there for me, and he's going to do it. And every job I've had has been better than the last one. Amen. I've never gone backwards in my life, ever. Ever. You know what I'm doing? I'm boasting on him. I'm boasting on him. You know, I'll tell you this secret. They did offer me, when I first went to Madison, they offered me less than what I had been making. So I told them, no. No, I'm not taking that. So they came back and they said, well, what do you want? They said, what do you want? I said, I wanted an extra week's vacation and more money. So they said, no problem. So I started off with 3 weeks vacation. I didn't have to wait 5 years to get 3 weeks vacation. See, you have to understand and let the devil know you're his beloved. That's how you're going to bring glory to God. Amen. And then, of course, you can't be shy about telling about it. I'm boasting of God's greatness and his goodness and his never-ending love and how he has all my life continued to do miracles for me. Amen. Hallelujah. And that what agreement at the temple of God. And not because I'm perfect, no. No, you know, it's like you have children and one of them's always getting in trouble. That's me. Always getting in trouble. That's me. But you know what? I'm still his son. I'm still his son. And whenever I've gotten out of the pigsty, you know, he's been looking. And he's always given me the ring and the robe. You see, we have to be prepared to receive his glory. We have to be prepared to receive his glory. Now, I want you to look at something very interesting here. This is at the Lord's Supper, or just before the Lord's Supper. Jesus has washed his disciples' feet, but Judas is still there. Judas is still there. Now, John 13:26, Jesus says, one of you is going to betray me. And they said, who, Lord? Jesus answered, he said, it is to whom I shall give a sop. When I have dipped it, when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And you know the story. The Bible says that Satan entered into him, and then he left. Now, notice what Jesus said after he got rid of the devil. Now, when he had left, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. You know what that tells me? You got to get rid of the devil. You got to get rid of some things to be prepared to be glorified. If you still got Judas hanging around, you may have to wait a while. Do you understand when Jesus said about the glory? When he left, he only had 11 left, but they were all on one accord. He said, now is the Son of Man glorified. He didn't say that now until Judas left. You have got to be prepared to receive his glory. Make sure that you don't have any Judas hanging around. Don't let the devil sit at meat with you, else you can't receive his glory. You got to get rid of him. Give him some bread and tell him to go about his business. Get out of my life, Satan. I don't need you here right now because I'm being prepared to receive his glory. That's very interesting when Jesus said now. As soon as Satan was gone, he says now is the Son of Man glorified. This is the Amplified Version. It says, now he has achieved his glory, his honor, and his exaltation. Because Satan was there all the time trying to bring him down. Judas came and said, why is this oil, this ointment being poured, wasted? See, he was there all the time nagging at Jesus. Why are you doing this? Why don't you do that? Why are you know, it wasn't until he went. Jesus said, now is, we have to look at our situation and make sure we don't have some negative Judases bringing us down, stopping our faith, taking away our ability to receive God's glory. Now he has achieved his glory, his honor, his exaltation. Because right there all the time was this Judas there looking at Jesus and being, you know, having evil thoughts. Look at this woman spending all this fortune on this oil. Couldn't it have been sold? The Bible says he didn't really mean that because he was a thief. You know what that implies? He had been stealing money all this time, trying to hurt Jesus' ministry. If he had been stealing from the bag, because the Bible says he had been a thief. Of course, Jesus said, haven't I chosen all of you, and one of you is the devil? But there comes a time when you have to remove yourself from the devil. Because God wants to give you his glory. When he had left. See, the Bible doesn't put this stuff just to fill space. It's there to teach us something. When he had left, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. Verse 32, and if God is glorified through and in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and he will glorify him at once and not delay. Amen. Do you understand? Once we get rid of the devil out of our lives, God is ready, willing, and able to do it right then. There will be no more delay. But a lot of us, we're letting the devil walk around with us, go to dinner with us. Got to dip this up and say, get thee hence, Satan. Isn't that what Jesus said when he tempted him? It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. We have to tell Judas, get thee behind me. Then we can be able to say, now, Lord, I'm ready. Now, Lord, I'm ready. Do what you're going to do now, Jesus. I'm ready. I've looked in my life. I've gotten rid of Satan. I'm prepared to receive your glory. Let your miracles flow through me. Let me be an agent of change. Let me be an agent of blessing. But you got to get rid of Satan. Amen. You got to get rid of Satan. And not everyone will see his glory. Not everyone will be able to see his glory. When in John, I think this is, I forgot to put the reference, but I think it's John 12, verse 38, that the sayings of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake. Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? There's some people that will never see his glory because the Bible says the God of this world hath blinded their eyes. They look at what we do on Sunday morning as foolishness, as stupidity, because they have been blind to the truth that there is more to this life than what they can see. Bible says in verse 39 that they could not believe because that Esaias said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should be healed them. Now the who there is not God. Jesus said he would that none be lost. It's speaking about the God of this world. Elsewhere, it makes it explicit. It says, who hath blinded the eyes. Amen. It's Satan that has blinded the eyes. If Judas had stayed around, maybe things would not have worked out the way God wanted. So he told him, go. Give him the sub. Get him out of there so that God's glory could be revealed. He hath blinded their eyes. Now, when someone is blind, can they see? Can't see God's glory because they've been blinded. These things, saith Esaias, when he saw his glory and spake of him. Jesus was quoting Isaiah, and he said that Isaiah saw Jesus' glory. Now, how could that be? Well, if you understand who it was that Isaiah saw, in Isaiah 6 it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. He saw Jesus. That's what we need, is to catch a vision of Jesus. When we truly catch a vision of Jesus and who he is, that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When Isaiah saw his vision, he said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I have seen the Lord. But you know what? An angel flew and came and took a coal from off the fire and touched his lips and told him, listen, I've chosen you. I've got some words for you to speak. I want you to reveal his glory. And that's what Isaiah did by writing it down. These things, said Isaiah, when he saw his glory. He didn't just keep it quiet. What does it say? And spake of him. If you've seen his glory, then you need to speak about it. You need to give him the glory. You need to open your mouth and speak about it. Speak about his glory. He saw his glory, but he didn't just keep it. He spoke about it. If you could stand with me today. Jesus said, he saw me. Isn't that amazing? Saw him. God wants us to see him, but more than see him on a Sunday, there's another part. It said, and Isaiah then spake of him. That means he didn't keep quiet. He started to tell people about the vision. I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and the cherubims with six wings, and with twain they covered their face, with twain they covered their feet, and with twain they fly, and they cry night and day, holy, holy, holy. God wants us to see his glory. He wants us to be blessed. But then he also wants us to speak. he also wants us to speak. And spake of him. Jesus, when he revealed his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration, he told the disciples, I don't want you to tell anyone now. Wait till I'm gone. But when I'm gone, I want you to tell everyone. We should be a reflection of his glory. We need to tell people. Isaiah just didn't see his glory, but he spake of him. As I've said, the reason, Romans 9:23, that he might make known the riches, let's say together, the riches of his glory. This is the whole reason. Who on the vessels, that's me and you, point to yourself, the vessels of his mercy, which he had afore prepared. Are you listening to this? Which he had before prepared. You have been prepared. You have been prepared. He has planned for you to have glory. That he might make known. When you speak, he's going to speak. He's going to call your name. See, once you've been through this suffering, once you've been through the fire, you're going to be elevated. Bible says he has put us in heavenly places that he might make known the riches of his glory on who? The vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared for this very purpose, for his glory. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? If you're a vessel of his mercy, raise your hand. That means you have been prepared for his glory. I am definitely a vessel of his mercy. Amen. Not any good that I have done. No good that I have done. Just his sovereign choice and his mercy. He's spoiled me. Amen. He wants to spoil every one of us. We're all his favorite, if truth be told. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads right now. Father, we thank you this morning for your great word and for your great love that you have shown to us, that you have said that we are your vessels of mercy, that you have before prepared for your glory. Lord, help us to receive this word this morning. Fill our hearts with your truth. Fill our hearts with your faith. Oh God, that we will rest upon your word and we trust you this morning. Oh God, let your love be poured out without measure. We thank you and we believe it, Lord God, that we will believe your word of all the love and grace. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is worthy to be praised. God bless you. We will have our second service at 4:15.